Welcome to Gospel Pod, a weekly devotional created by the students of United Theological Seminary. For more information about the school and its course offerings, please visit our website at united.edu.
Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 to 16. After this I looked and beheld a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne, and around the elders, and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat." You know, the book of Revelation is a little bit of a problematic book for those of us in the ministerial world. On the one hand, you have this very, well, somewhat violent and sometimes disturbing eschatological narrative going on that some people can get very hung up about, for depending on their point of view. Some get hung up on this as, "Oh, this is fascinating, this is wonderful." And some get hung up in this sense of, "This is horrible, how could this ever happen?" And at the other end of the spectrum, we have what is somewhat seen as a political polemic against the Roman Empire going on in Revelation. So when you take that and throw it all together, generally those of us in the ministerial crowd, I found, just look at it and go, "You know, I'm just going to skip that out of the lectionary this week. It's just simpler if we leave it alone." Which, you know, from a functional standpoint, I understand, but I think it's a little sad, really. Because this is an inspired text, just as the rest of our texts in the canon are. And thus, this has something to teach us. Sometimes, it has something to teach us that we didn't even realize is there. And I think this passage from this week demonstrates that. Recently, I had the opportunity to talk with a very well-known and very renowned biblical scholar. And the conversation was not exactly what I thought it was going to be. The gentleman is wonderfully brilliant, wonderfully talented, and it is a very, I guess we would say, he's an outstanding voice for the church in his own way. But my conversation with him was very parochial and very almost sectarian. And it left me with a bad taste in my mouth. And I was wondering, after that conversation, what I would put in my podcast this week, and I came across this text. And I was struck by the concept of a great multitude. Now, if you notice in the text, the great multitude is never defined. It doesn't say a great multitude of Baptists. It doesn't say a great multitude of Lutherans. And Lord knows it's not a great multitude of Methodists, because there would be committees everywhere. Instead, the great multitude is simply defined as a great multitude. It's a large grouping of people. And what is it that brings them together? It is their trust and faith in the Creator God, and in the salvific work of Christ Jesus, and in the sustaining work of the Holy Spirit that brings them together as this great multitude around the throne, praising God. And I think we can take a lot of things from this text this week, but if we take one thing away, this might be it. This is what it's all about. It's not about us sticking to our denominational loyalties or to the safety points in our arguments or in our collective theology. Instead, it's recognizing that we see one thing, another person sees another thing, another Christian will see another thing, but we are all drawn together and pulled together through the saving work of Christ. And one day, we will all stand together around the throne of God, praising our Creator. Let us go out this week and let us take that thought with us, that though we are separate, though we have our ideologies and our differences, we are all one and brought together in the saving power of Christ.